Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first ever episode of the Make Onions Cry podcast. I'm Kat. I'm one of your hosts.
I'm Angie. I'm the other co-host.
And we're going to be doing a podcast on all things relationships. And this could be, you know, relationships, physical relationships people have, romantic relationships, friendships, family, and then also relationships people have with things or with concepts like social media, the relationships we have with that, or something like gambling. It's a very wide field of what we can discuss, but we're hoping to entertain some of you. And we thought we would start off strong today with talking about romantic relationships and specifically breakups.
A very lighthearted topic.
It is, yeah. Casual conversation.
Yeah, casual between two friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Good old breakups.
Exactly. And it's one of those things that it's never how it seems. There's more than one side to every single breakup. There's usually more than two sides as well. You know, there's person A, person B, and then the truth, which is kind of a mixture of the two. And there's also perspectives of other people. You know, breakups aren't just between person A and person B. Sometimes they affect a whole family. So that's also another thing to note. But yeah, Angie, you have a bit more experience with breakups. You started dating a few years earlier than I did. You were dating,
unfortunately,
in high school.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't start dating until college. So, yep. So tell us a bit about your experience.
Oh boy, let's get right into it. But yeah, I feel like having dated in high school and in college, it's very different. You know, you date in high school and you're discovering yourself, because those are the most important years of your life in high school. It's when you're learning the most, you're learning who you are, what you like, what you don't like. And so I had two relationships in high school that lasted a while. The first one, he lasted for about a year. And then the second one, he was like 2 to 2.5 years, I would say. But very hard times, obviously, because we were all so immature back then.
And we're also super impressionable. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're in high school, you're between the age of 14 to 18. And, you know, you're going from being a kid to being an adult.
Yeah, you're literally becoming an adult.
Yeah, so it's a very formative time. And I feel like the people that you surround yourself with, you know, they have a big impact on you. And they affect mm-hmm. how you are. And if you're dating someone, that's a person you spend a lot of time with. That's someone that you tell a lot of things to, that they tell a lot of things to you. It's an impact on your life.
And especially a first relationship, you're figuring things out because you've never dealt with that kind of commitment before. Mm-hmm. And so doing that in high school, I think, is so tough because you don't even know who you are. And you have to also now learn to, what's the word? You have to learn to like navigate a relationship, a romantic relationship with someone. And you might have never been physical, never, like, even talked to anyone, you know? So it's very tough. It's very different.
It is. Yeah. And let's take a step back, because while you were talking about that, I realized some people start dating even earlier. Some people start dating in middle school.
I had my first kids in middle school.
I did, too. It's one of those things where I oftentimes didn't really consider it real relationships, because, one, none of them last. Or if they do, it's very rare. Mm-hmm. And it's also, you're literally children.
You're like a baby.
In middle school, the oldest you're going to be is 14, and that's right as you graduate and you're going into high school. Yeah. And when you start middle school, you're what, like 11?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're a little kid, but kids are dating. Like I had friends in middle school that were in relationships, some of them for over a year. And, you know, some people lose their virginity in middle school. Like some people start being sexually active that early.
And that's crazy because you're a child.
Yeah, it's something to think about as well. Like relationships start at different points in people's lives. Yeah. You know, there's in other cultures and countries, some people get married that early.
Yeah.
So it's,
which is nuts, because I know myself at that age getting married. Please God, no. Like,
oh yeah, if I got married at what, like 14 or 15. I mean, I'm a completely different person now. Like, it hasn't even been a decade since I was 15, and
you're gay now.
Well, yeah, there's that. I mean, that's a pretty big change, but like, that's something I wasn't aware of fully. It's something I struggled with.
Yeah,
and it's I've had a lot of formidable, whatever the word is.
Yeah, formidable.
I formed a lot throughout the years. So it affects things differently, but I've never had a middle school breakup. Like, I had puppy love or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember being so young, like, every time I ended those situationships, I'll call them, because I'm not going to really call them a relationship, it hurt. And
it felt like the end of the world at that
it
age.
It really did. It felt like the end of the world. Like, I was, 12? And I was like, oh my God, my heart, it's shattered.
It's like I'm never getting married.
Yeah, it's like I'm never finding love. But it's like, you move on.
Meanwhile, I just learned how to color inside the lines. Like,
right, exactly. But it's one of those things where at different ages, those breakups have different impacts.
Yeah.
And sometimes feeling like the end of the world, for a 12-year-old that doesn't know any better, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so middle school over. I figured we could do a small caveat to that one.
Into the next era.
Let's start with high school.
Yeah.
Back to what you were discussing. So your first relationship, you guys started dating. This is before I met you. So correct me if I'm wrong. You guys started dating freshman year, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. It was your freshman year and he was
a junior.
Yeah, he was a junior.
He was 2 years older, yeah.
Okay. So how was that as well? In terms of, you know, this was your first serious relationship, right?
Yeah, I mean you've known me. I've always been attracted to older guys. But I mean, at that age, older doesn't really matter because we both don't know anything. But having my first relationship fresh into high school with someone who the whole high school knew, by the way, he was very popular.
He was
on the basketball team. He was like classic jock, annoying. And I was like, right there, I'm going to ruin my life. I'm going to ruin my life today. And I did. And
Good start.
It was toxic, and it was, at the time, I thought it was love, but he also had never had a relationship or been with anyone or nothing. So we were both just jealous balls of high schoolers, I guess. And we were just navigating life together, but butted heads a lot. And it was, I don't regret it, but it wasn't a good relationship. I wouldn't go back.
Right. And, you know, it happened in a very formable time. Guys, from what I remember in high school, a lot of guys started hitting puberty at the end of sophomore, beginning of junior year. So it was around that time for him. And same thing for girls. Girls hit puberty a bit earlier. So it was around the same time for you, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting thing because neither of you really had the experience, but also you were both kind of going with it and seeing how it went.
Yeah. And also, it's, like, we met in high school. We were together every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were together every day. He would walk me to class. I would walk him to class, stuff like that. We were never apart.
Straight out of a movie.
Literally. Like, I was on the quote-unquote cheerleading squad that we didn't have.
I remember he was
the basketball player, so it was classic. You know, middle school movie, even though we were in high school. But yeah, I feel like if you see someone every day, it's much different than like relationships now, like where you meet online or you do long distance. Like, you go with what you have.
Absolutely. And that applies to all relationships we have.
Yeah.
Where when we go to school, you're not gonna, especially us, we grew up in New York City, such a big city. And we were in Brooklyn, which on its own is massive. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to be friends with some random person from a random middle school in Queens. Like, I couldn't even name a single middle school in Queens if you asked me to.
I couldn't either.
So, exactly. It's one of those proximity things. The people that we surround ourselves with, especially at a young age, mm-hmm. are those that we just interact with often. Our friends usually were from school, or they were neighbors, or a combination of the two, or they were someone that we went to karate with, or a guitar lesson or dance lesson. It was people that we just saw regularly.
Right.
That's how friendships were made, and that's how relationships were made. It was either someone that a friend introduced to you from their school, someone that they met previously, or it was someone that you had interaction with on the regular.
Yep.
And in this case, it was school for you.
Yep, and we dated for a year and then had a very toxic breakup.
I mean, so yeah, tell me about the breakup. That's the actual topic here today. So
yeah, well, as I was saying, like, our whole relationship wasn't great because we were both very immature, and like I did things, said things I wasn't proud of, and I wouldn't do them now. But at the time, like, you feel like it's the end of the world, so you're gonna grasp at every straw that's given to you. But when we broke up twice, I think. I got back together and broke up again. But we broke up over text, of course, in high school, because communication, not a thing. And then we broke up. I think I broke up with him both times. Or he did it the first time, I did it the second time. First time, we kind of just broke it off because we were fighting. Nothing really big happened. Got back together. Then broke up again officially, and he showed up at my house.
Oh, that's spicy. I didn't know that.
He showed up at my house, sat outside crying and throwing up, you know, typical guy.
All right.
And I was like, I'm going to call the cops on you if you don't leave. And he was like, call the cops then. And this was high school. I was a freshman. Are you kidding me? Like, you're standing outside my house, and I'm like, ah. Yeah.
Did you call the cops?
No, my mom and I just kind of laughed about it in the living room.
Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like the best breakup. No, and what we talked about earlier is that there are at least two sides to every breakup. Mm-hmm. You know, there's your side, there's their side, and then there's kind of the mix of the two, which is reality. Yeah. And you know, the way you're telling me, this is your side of the story. And it's interesting to think about, like, how does the other person take it? How are they telling people about it? When they reminisce back, are they saying, wow, Angie, she was so toxic to me and, you know, I was such an amazing guy, whatever. Or do they own it up and they're like, you know, our relationship wasn't the best. Because some people do. They lie. They make themselves look good no matter what. Even if they know that they're the bad person, even if they cheat on someone, they'll still make it the other person's fault.
Right. Because you don't want to think that about yourself. It's hard. It's hard to come to that realization and, like, work on that.
Exactly. It's people want to make themselves look good, and the best way to make yourself look good is to believe whatever you're spitting out. You know, if you're lying about who you are and how it happened, then, and if you make yourself believe that, it's a lot easier to lie about.
Yeah. I mean, I've dated three people. I have three exes. I'm in my fourth, you know, good relationship. Fingers crossed. But all of my breakups ended badly, you know, and I don't know, but like, I know about your breakups, like, you've had better experience with breakups than I've had.
Yeah, one of my breakups went a lot better than most breakups do. The other one, not so much. One of my breakups was extremely toxic, and it was just a lot of back and forth, and not really that great. But we'll get to me. We're not that up to that era of life yet. We're still in high school.
Oh, yeah. We're still talking about that.
So you had a second relationship down the line. Were you a junior at the time or senior?
I was a junior.
You were a junior. Okay. And how did that one start? Give me the basis for there.
Okay. So, this was like immediately after my other breakup with boy number one. Boy A. After we broke up, a month later, I was in this new relationship. And I was just a relationship person, and was that a good idea? No, but it happened, and it is what it is. But I actually met him on Tumblr.
Good old Tumblr.
And I had I wouldn't say a big following, but I had a following where, like, people would ask me questions in my little inbox thing, you know? And he literally slid into my DMs anonymously, was like, called me pretty. And I was like, oh my God. And this happened when I was still with boy A. But I was checked out of that relationship. I was trying to leave it. We weren't talking for a while. And then boy B started hitting on me through Tumblr. And I was like, I feel like this is a troll. So they kind of overlapped in time. But then I broke up with boy A. A month later happened, boy B messages me again. He's like, oh, I called, do you remember me? And I was like, no. you're anonymous, and why would I remember you? And then he kept hitting on me, and because, of course, high school me posted about my breakup on Tumblr and was like, my life's over. Oh, my God. I'm so upset. And he was like, damsel in distress, let me slide for a second time. So anyways, he came off anonymous. I got his kick.
Oh, man, you're the one with the throwback.
I got his kick, and I got his Snapchat, and we hit it off.
And this was the start of social media at this time, because Facebook was a thing. This was when MySpace was dying out.
This is when Snapchat had best friends, the top three.
We need a whole episode on that. Just that alone.
But this is when that happened.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, it was the start of social media. People were still very wary of the internet, and especially a stranger, especially on Tumblr. Tumblr's suspicious.
Yes.
Like, if you think about it, Tumblr, not the safest of sites. It's like kind of like a Reddit, where there isn't really a filter system. Anyone can post anything they want. I don't even know if there was moderation on it, because I've seen some graphic things on Tumblr.
Yeah.
And I used to scroll it regularly when I was 11, 12.
That's why we're desensitized.
Honestly, yeah. It's probably. But so that, you know, you two hit it off, and clearly it lasted for a while. You're together for what, 2 years after that?
2 to 2.5 years, yeah.
Yeah, and
I mean, we talked for a while without making anything of it, because I never met him. I was just, we were talking on FaceTime. Yeah, but then I got his number, we talked on FaceTime, we phone called, like, every day. It got to a point where we were texting and calling every single day. And then he was in college, mind you. He was, I think, also 2 years older.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a freshman in college when I was a junior. Yeah. That makes sense.
That's
and I think he was 2 years older. He might have been three, but I honestly don't remember. But so he was in college. He took the train down from Poughkeepsie, New York, and stayed at the hotel that's right down my block. And I went to the hotel. With safe. A man on Tumblr.
Safe.
First time
like
meeting
it.
Him.
We love to hear it.
I picked him up there. We went for a walk. We got some food. And then he asked me out. And I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you guys had a very established relationship. And even though it wasn't mainstream to be talking to people online, like, now it's the regular thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now everyone meets online.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my sister, she met her husband on AOL Messenger, or whatever.
What?
No, it wasn't even on AOL Messenger. It was the Polish version of the AOL Messenger. That's how they met. Like, he slid into her DMs. He didn't know her either. Like, he slid into her DM because of her username.
Oh my God. We need her on here.
And that was even earlier. That was before, that was like during the era of MySpace. That was before Facebook was a thing. So it's very early online dating, and it was a bit different. It wasn't as traditional where you see photos of a person in a short bio or whatever they want you to see, but it was anonymous.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't know who Boy B was. Boy B just saw what you were posting on Tumblr, which also isn't an accurate representation.
No, it was not.
It was not. No, it's like, I used to reblog? I don't remember how Tumblr
works.
Oh
my God.
I used to reblog things that had nothing to do with me. I was like, I'm so edgy. But realistically,
I had a whole aesthetic, like, where I would only reblog black and white photos.
That tracks. Yeah, that tracks. Anyway, ignoring Tumblr, ignoring social media, that's going to be a future discussion.
Yeah.
So, Boy B, you guys dated, were you in college, or were you still in high school when you guys broke up?
We broke up twice. One was senior year of high school, and then the final breakup was in college when I finished my first year.
Okay, so you got back together with both of your exes.
I did.
Tell me about that.
Terrible mistake. but, again, do I regret it? I wouldn't say that, because again, all of our choices make us who we are, and you learn a lesson. And I never got closure with either of them. I mean, boy A, I got closure because I broke up with him second time around. Boy B, we had a really bad breakup second time around, and where he blocked me and I also blocked him. We didn't talk for 2 years or 3 years even, I think it was. And then we finally had like a discussion of how we've both grown, and like there's no, we don't like hate each other anymore, you know? So very, but also he had the upper hand in that breakup. He broke up with me over text, right. I will say. Right before my birthday.
That's fun. Was it planned? Maybe.
I mean, he broke up with me the first time the day before Valentine's Day, so.
So, once again, was it planned? Maybe.
Probably.
But yeah, so now we get into the college era, and now it's my turn to share my first relationship. Like I mentioned, I didn't start dating until a bit later. I think I had my first serious relationship. I was a senior in college. Like, I was very much into casual dating, into just casually meeting people, but I didn't want commitment. I was very against it. And I also knew that I was planning on studying abroad at some point, and I didn't want to be in a relationship during that point. It's, you know, 6 months, especially at a younger age. It's a lot of time, and you're in a different country. You want to meet new people. You want to experience things. So that was always something for me that I was just, push it off. Don't get tied down to anyone. Live life, love, or live, laugh, love.
I was trying to say live life, love.
Yeah, I was trying to say live life, and then I'm like, live, laugh, love.
Wow.
But I started dating later in college, and that's when I had my first relationship. And it wasn't bad, per se. It was, we bonded a lot because of shared similar things that we had on the surface. You know, we were both Polish, so having the same cultural background definitely helps. You get to bond a lot over it. You share the same traditions. You know, we eat the same food. We understand the same language. It has a whole thing in its own self. But then we also bonded over things like Pokemon. You know, I'm a big Pokemon fan, and so is she. And same thing with TV shows and anime. She got me into a few shows as well. So things like that. So it wasn't a bad relationship per se. And when we ended things the first time around, because I too got back together with my ex.
There it is.
This is not an Angie thing, but a lot of people do. And, you know, we'll discuss that in a bit. But the first time we broke up, I decided to do it. It was entirely in my playing field. I remember I called you. I was like, hey, I'm thinking of ending this. And I really wanted to be an asshole and just do it over text. And you talked me out of it, and I'm glad you did. That was a smart decision. And we did it in person. But the week before the breakup, it was kind of obvious that I was planning on breaking up. Because I was a lot shorter with my messages. I would just text her a lot less. I would respond very shortly. We didn't really have phone calls. And I would just be like, oh, I'm busy with school. I'm busy with work. Because I was, just not to that extent. I didn't have to be that busy. But I was also avoiding her because I was like, well, I'm not going to tell you I love you when I'm breaking up with you in 2 days.
Yeah, that's the tough part.
Yeah. So, but it gave me time to start processing the breakup. I knew it was coming. I wasn't going to be blindsided by this. I was expecting it because I was the one that's going to do it. And I kind of started grieving the relationship before it was even over. And we broke up, and then we got back together about a month later. And it wasn't too bad. Like, it was, we had a lot of things to work on because it was one of those things where, well, you broke up with me, so now we have to, you know, figure things out. I don't trust you as much. What if you do it again? Yada, yada, yada. And then I did do it again. But the second time
around was for...
right, but the second time around was for an actual... Well, it wasn't for... The first time was also an actual reason. But the second time was more a mutual disconnect. Where we realized that there is something very fundamental that we disagree on. That in the long run will make us break up. And I kind of made the point of, why should we stay together if we're going to break up in a few years? Because this ends up being an issue. Like, it might not be an issue now, but if it ends up being an issue, why stretch it out? Yeah. And people have different takes on this. Some people would say, you know, you never know. Every relationship is beautiful, whatever, whatever. But I, when I'm in a relationship, my end goal is to stay in that relationship. I don't want to be in a relationship just for 3 years with the intention of, okay, time's up. We can break up now. Time to move on.
Yeah, I've never thought like that.
Yes, but some people do. Some people are in relationships just to either gain experience or gain momentum, or they like someone a lot and they're vibing at the moment, but they know that it's not long term. So it depends on how people view it. And so we broke up a second time. That one was more mutual. It was, at that point, I think that one hurt a lot less. Because we already went through it once. I knew what the process was like. And I knew what the process was like with her, specifically. So it wasn't anything new. I knew how to process it. And I was able to bounce back a lot quicker.
Yeah.
So I remember I downloaded Tinder, I think, like, a few days later. Just because I was like, all right, that's the best way to bounce back. Just get a rebound or whatever.
I've done that from the start.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm like, and Bumble.
Yeah, I mean, it's, so for me, it's that mindset of like, all right, day after we broke up, let's go on the dating apps. Do I actually do anything with it? No.
Yeah, no. For validation.
It's just validation. It's also, you know, if people swipe right on me, I'm like, yeah, I'm hot shit. Thanks. It's just, you know, gas yourself up.
Yeah.
I had the unique experience of my first relationship ended during COVID. So that was also different. We started seeing each other a lot less because COVID was rampant and she worked with people and I had a immunocompromised family at home. So I was locked away completely. I mean, we didn't see each other for months. I don't think I exited my room for like 2 months. The only time
I saw you through our cars.
Yeah, we had a little car date where this was also like pretty late into COVID. It was like April. We drove to the beach. We sat two parking spots away from each other and just waved at each other. We're like, what's up, friend? Scream
through the window. Like,
yeah, hello? We did. It was cute. It was fun. It was, at the time, it was something that you had to do because you had to stay locked away. Like, people didn't know what was going on. You had to be cautious, careful.
Yep.
We kind of also started drifting apart because of that. We saw each other a lot less. And then when we broke up, it was kind of, I couldn't do anything about it. Even if I wanted a rebound, I couldn't do a rebound. I couldn't really go out and party and drink my sorrows away or whatever because the world was locked down.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't mind that too much. I didn't want to drink my sorrows away. It was one of those things where I was able to process it without, so it wasn't too bad.
Well, you also had that, like, first breakup, which, again, made that second one a lot easier.
It definitely was an added cushion.
Yeah. Because I also had my third breakup with Guy C. During COVID. We started dating during COVID, and we broke up 3 months later during COVID because he cheated on me during COVID.
Yep.
So that was a mess. And the way I got over it was crying on TikTok and then getting validation. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm bisexual. I'm better now.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that. It was a whole phase, but that's the thing, too. You had such a short relationship with Guy C.
Yeah.
But it still hurt.
Yeah, because I hadn't dated in quite a while, like, in between. And I was finally like, oh, okay, like, I feel like, okay, I can do a relationship. And I started off very much not into it, you know.
Yeah.
I would call you and I was like, I'm just bored. And then we started dating, and then he totally took advantage of that. And so I was like, wow, I'm so out of your league, and you still hurt me? Yeah. Now I'm upset.
because I remember that. At the start, I think you guys were friends, and you had mutual friends or something. You were hanging out in a group.
Yeah.
And then once you actually started that one-on-one, you became more interested. But it was still, like, it was still such a weird relationship. And at the end of it, that also comes down to how, you know, the length of a relationship doesn't necessarily matter. You could leave a 10-year relationship and feel very indifferent about it because you were checked out for the last 5 years and you were just in it to be in it. Or you could leave a couple months after, or a relationship that lasted a couple of months, and be very hurt about it.
Yeah, I mean, what it really comes down to was he had a J name, and that's it. That's all you need to know.
That's about
J name Sagittarius. That's it.
Yeah. That speaks for itself. Let's leave that one. Boys,
ladies, avoid. Avoid. Just avoid. Don't do it. Not worth it.
I just came to the realization my brother is a J name Sagittarius.
That makes sense.
No, that tracks. But yeah, so it's a lot of different experiences. Mm-hmm. And with that, it also comes down to how just people handle it. Some people do breakups. Like I mentioned earlier, I couldn't drink my sorrows away, but that's how some people deal with it. They turn to substance, or they turn to distractions. They throw themselves into their work.
Yeah.
Whereas, other people just cry their eyes out and try to get it through that way. Some people go to therapy. And it depends on how
I'm pointing at myself.
Yeah, I'm seeing her doing it.
Like, crying? Me. Therapy? Me.
Yeah, and so I have one more breakup to talk about from my end.
Yes. Yes, you do.
And this one, so the first one, I was the one that did the breaking up. Mm-hmm. And the second one, I was broken up with. And it was a very much a blindsiding breakup. I wasn't expecting it. I didn't see it coming whatsoever. I don't think she saw it coming until she did it, because we just got into an argument out of nowhere, and she just texted
me.
Hi,
it's me. I'm the problem.
we broke up because of Angie. Like, that was the issue, and I was very confused about it.
So was I.
Yeah. So
we were in the Hamptons, and all of a sudden you're like, I got dumped, and I was like, what? Huh?
Yeah, it was, this is my story, let me tell it.
I know, I'm just saying, I was just as confused.
Yeah, no, so it was very weird. It was 4th of July weekend. We were in Long Island celebrating, just having fun. And I started talking to her. She was asking, how's Angie, how's everything? And it was all good. It started off as a normal conversation, all was fine dandy. And then, I don't remember how it led to this, but somehow it led to the point of us discussing Angie. What even was it?
I think you and I were talking about something, and then you said that I intimidated her.
She had a problem. Yeah, like she
had
a
problem. She said that I intimidated her, so then I felt bad.
Yeah.
And I was like, apologize.
Yeah, I told Angie about it. I was like, my girlfriend said you intimidate her. She's a bit insecure around you. Can you tone it down? Because me and Angie have sometimes a very flirtatious relationship. We'll crack jokes at each other. But it's, we're best friends. It's never real. It's always jokes. And she took it very personally. So I told Angie about it. And she got mad at me for that. She was like, how dare you tell her? Why would you expose me like this? Yada, yada, yada.
I was very receptive and I felt so bad.
Yeah. Like, my intention was, let me tell Angie to tone it down so this isn't a bigger issue than it has to be.
Yeah, you stand up for your relationship.
Exactly. And then she was like, I can't do this. We're done. And I'm like, are you breaking up with me? And she's like, yeah, I think I am. And then I just kind of stared there. And this was like 11 o'clock at night, keep in mind. Angie was half asleep on the bed next to me.
I was.
And I just kind of look up. And I'm like, hey, Angie, I think I just got dumped. And she wakes up and is like, huh, what? So I get out of bed, go to her bed. I'm like, I need a hug. And it was like, I was in shock. I didn't know how to react. I was like, all right, let's cry a little and then let's go to sleep. Maybe I'm dreaming. In my mind, I was like that anyway. But then I woke up the next day. It was very much real. It did happen. And then we got into another, like, she called me at one point or something. And I didn't pick up, but I just didn't see it. I drank my sorrows away that weekend.
It was 4th of July, and my aunt was like, oh my god, you got dumped?
Exactly, it was 4th of July. Your family was there. They were just feeding me, seltzers, wine, whatever.
I told my family in secret, because I didn't want them to make it a big deal, just in case Kat just started crying, randomly. I was like, just so you know, this happened. My aunt was like, so margaritas?
A legend, an icon. She spoke the language.
Yeah. Just that. We need that, yep.
Yeah, so it wasn't, hindsight, it wasn't the worst time to get dumped when you're out with people that care about you and surrounded by alcohol. But It wasn't fun, but it happened. And leading after that, we were in a very toxic state because we kept talking and we kept trying to figure out, can we make this work? Can we get back together? Can we not get back together? And we never actually did get back together, but we did want to try, quote unquote. But then I was at a state of, try. I don't, yeah, we tried, but we never actually did it. And for me, it was, I don't trust you because you just up and broke up with me out of nowhere. Like, what, that could have been a fight. It very easily could have been a fight, but you didn't even talk it out. And you dumped me through text. So for me, I was just very self-conscious about that. I just didn't want to go through it again. Whereas for her, she still had the original issue with Angie. And I was at a point of, I'm not going to choose between my best friend and someone I've been dating for a few months. You know, that's not how I roll, especially when this is someone it's my best friend for years.
Like, yeah, this kind of feeds into the topic of just toxic relationships, because mm-hmm. when you're close to someone, like as close as we are, and if someone's intimidated by that, like we would never do anything to like one another's relationship.
No.
We're in a relationship, it is just that and us. It's separate, exactly. But we have like our own time. Yes, like we flirt, but it's always a joke. It's always, you know, for fun. It's not real flirting. It's just kind of like, we're besties and I'm hyping you up and you're hyping me up.
Exactly. Like you'll send me a photo of you going out and be like, oh my God, that's my best friend. You're so hot.
Yeah. And I feel like that's normal for girls in general.
It is. It absolutely is.
But when you have someone who is so intimidated and is trying to control your your friendship relationships, that's just not good. It's not a good stepping stone for relationships. It's just not going to end well, because that's manipulative and it's toxic and it's hard to deal with.
It definitely is. And that's something I realized. So we broke up early July. I realized that early August, and I kind of put an end to things. I was like, we're done. We can stay friends. I'm willing to try this friend thing just because we got along really well. We had a lot in common. Like we definitely could have been good friends. But she just kept pushing that boundary. You know, she would come back and try to flirt with me again, or she would send me photos or whatever, just to try to get me riled up. And I just wasn't feeding into it. I wasn't, you know, picking up the agenda that she wanted.
Yeah.
Like for me, it was, I was done. I was like, this is over. We're not doing this. And then it ended up in me having to block her. Like it got to the point where she was like, don't message me, or like, I don't want to message you. And then she would message me a few days later. And she was like, please block me. I can't control myself. This isn't that. And I did. I had to block her on social media. I blocked her number. And then I think I left her unblocked on like two things or something. But she ended up blocking me on those. So it was like, it was a very messy month and a half however long it lasted, of us just going back and forth and trying to figure out what this is going to be and how it's going to be.
Yeah, and it was definitely very messy. It was a very messy time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that also kind of, we touched upon this earlier, but getting back together with an ex, you know, we both did it. I didn't do it the second time almost, but didn't. And what's your opinion on maybe right person, wrong time? Do you think that's a thing?
I think it is, because if there's like one, an age gap, one person cannot be totally emotionally ready for just to handle whatever relationships are at them. And the other person might be, or just might be, you know, you're both going through stuff independently and you can't really help each other out because you can't even help yourself out. So I definitely think right person, wrong time is a thing, because it, you know, life just kind of throws shit at you. And if it's the right person, they'll come back.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I fully agree. Mm-hmm. I might be more of a believer of, if it's right person, wrong time, then it's maybe not the right person.
I could see that.
You know, maybe you should have met down the line, but you didn't. You met now. So it kind of ruined things.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that, like, if you come to that decision, like, oh, we work, but we're not working now, I don't think you should, like, wait for one another. Like, if something else happens, like, if you find your person later on, you find your person. But, like, if the world brings you back, if circumstances bring you back, then it could be right person, wrong time.
It could be, yeah. So, I'm very split on this. I flip-flop on it because sometimes I'm thinking, if it's the right person, it wouldn't be the wrong time. but also maybe just there's some things left to grow. Maybe you met a little too early.
Yeah.
And you kind of touched on this, different stages in life.
Yeah, like my first two exes, I got back with them because I really didn't know any better. And again, it felt like the end of the world. Boy C wouldn't even think about it.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't even think about getting with the other two now, but just in the moment when he broke up with me, I was like, I'm upset and I'm going to be upset for a while, but fuck you, quite literally. And yeah. I blocked him everywhere. Because I was like, what you did to me.
You blocked him on LinkedIn.
And then I logged into my dad's LinkedIn and blocked him. And that's on being a petty Taurus.
But that's the thing. It was one of those things where you guys broke up. And for months after, he was just reaching out to you.
Yeah.
I don't even know for what. Like, it was so dumb.
I never found out because I kept saying no.
Yeah.
He would reach out to my friends and be like, can you tell her to unblock me? No.
Yeah. I was like, dude, just give it up. Like, you messed up. Just take the L.
Yeah, I feel like getting back with an ex is always difficult because there's always that mistrust. It's like, because someone broke up with you, like, or you broke up with them, so there's going to be mistrust. But
like, there was heartbreak involved.
Yeah, but under certain circumstances, like cheating, I couldn't do that unless I was like married with kids, and then there's more involved, you know. But then there's more to think about. But now, no.
Yeah. I mean, that also kind of leads us to the final stage, which neither of us have experienced, is a marriage breakup.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, we're still pretty
separating and divorce.
Yeah, there's separation, there's divorce. And there's also, you know, you could also be in a very long-term relationship and have kids and just never be married.
Yeah.
But that breakup is also, that could be even worse than a marriage breakup. Because there's no legal binding between you two. So it might be even more difficult to break up assets.
True. That's very true.
I've always said it, and I will continue saying it. I am a big fan of prenups.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that prenups aren't just, oh, if we get divorced, then I don't want you taking my money.
Or when we get divorced.
Yeah, it's not even, you know, when we get divorced. Prenups are a safety measure for both people involved.
Mm-hmm.
They ensure that nothing bad happens in case things go bad. Because I read something really good. This is some of the best life advice I've seen. Plan for the worst when it's at your best.
Yep.
Yeah. Because when it's at the worst, you're not going to be in the state of mind to be like, okay, how are we going to fix this? How are we going to solve this?
Yeah.
Plan for it. Just be prepared. Have a plan. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what life is going to throw at you. And prenups have so much benefits to them. You can protect yourself from debt. If, let's say, you know, let's pretend me and Angie are married. If I go into serious debt, yeah, right? How cute. If I go into serious debt, but we have a prenup, she could be protected from that, depending on the terms of the prenup.
Yeah.
So whatever debt I incur on me personally doesn't affect her. And same thing with death. If I die and there's some suspicious circumstances around me or whatever, my family doesn't have to take that burden. So there's a lot more to prenups that people don't realize. And they don't necessarily mean, oh, I'm planning on getting divorced with you and I think you're going to steal all my money. It could be more so, I don't know what's going to happen. It's better to be safe than sorry. And that goes for both of us.
Yeah. And it's also, as you said, you don't know what's going to happen. And I know with me and my job, I get paid a good amount of money and I work my ass off for, and I'm not going to have some man divorcing me down the line and taking half of that.
Exactly.
It's like I work for what I get and I'm proud of that. And if you're going through something where your spouse cheats on you, why would you want to give them that?
Yeah. And you can have that in a prenup too. You can have a cheating clause.
Yeah.
If the relationship ends because of cheating, then, you know, you don't split anything fairly. Or you could have it set where you split everything 50-50 no matter what. But if XYZ happens, then that goes out the window.
Yeah. I used to be against prenups because of the whole mindset of, when we divorce. And I was like,
yeah.
You should just love me, you know?
Exactly. Like, do you not trust me?
Yeah. But getting older.
That's a lot of people have.
Yeah. But also getting older and, like, you know, investing and having a job and, you know, having more assets, you know, but I'm looking for an apartment and stuff like that. It's, you have your things, and God forbid someone's in debt. I wouldn't want to put that on anyone, and I don't want anyone to put that on me. So, yeah.
Exactly. It's an important thing. And then obviously when kids are involved, it gets a lot messier.
Yeah.
If you have kids together, you know, you want to do what's best for the kids. And a lot of times when people are getting divorced, they forget that. They're in it just to spite their significant other. They're, you know, they want to take away as much as possible from them, take as much money, leave them with nothing. But you don't consider that it's you two, but also C, D, and E, because you have three kids together.
Right.
And that's kind of, I was thinking about this. When you break up, it's, yeah, it's between two people, but you have effects on other people. And it's you could have kids, even if you don't have kids together, you might have a pet together, or if you've been with someone for a long time, your family gets used to them. Like, you become members of each other's families. You spend holidays together. You spend dinners together. It's a very involved thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when the relationship ends, you end a lot of things.
Yeah, that was like with my, with boy B. He had two cats, who I loved so much, and I still love them so much. And when we broke up, I was like, I'm never going to see those cats again. Yeah. And that hurt so bad.
Yeah, my ex number two, she had such a cute dog. I really like that dog. I'm never going to see that dog again.
Yeah, it's tough because you're like, I will never see them. Like, yeah. And I loved them. Like, they were my own cats because I couldn't have cats. So it was tough.
Yeah. So I feel like that leaves us on a good note. Well, I wouldn't say a good note, but a note.
Well, we're both in very healthy, good, happy relationships right now.
We have both since progressed to bigger and better.
Yes.
So hopefully, first and last breakup, yeah, we're not going to have another episode reminiscing again.
Yeah, please no.
Yeah, so we're
for both of you, if you're listening, listen up.
But yes. Yeah, that's kind of our takes on breakups. There is obviously so much more to them. There's breakups with situationships, people that you're not dating, and that alone could be a whole separate episode, which honestly it might be. Yeah. Because that's another topic to discuss. Breaking up with someone that you're not together with.
That's always
dicey complicated territory, but it's fun. It's fun to talk about, fun to hear reactions.
Yeah.
And
if you guys have any stories too, love to read them.
Feel free to share anything with us. We're on social media. I think we're on all the social medias. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure we are. Make Onions Cry across the board.
Yep.
Feel free to reach out to us, DM us. We also have our personal accounts. You can reach out to me as well and share your stories, share your breakups, tell us what's happening. But yeah, next week we're going to have a bit more of a serious episode.
Yes, we are.
We're going to talk a bit about networking, but there's different, like we said, there's different types of relationships, and networking is an important one. It's what people do throughout life, through their careers. So can't wait to discuss that, and you get to hear our hot takes on that.
Yep, so we'll see you next week.
All right, thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Thank you. Toodles.
Outro music.
Toodles.